Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 16, and this week's guest is Heather Oldclaws. Heather has a pinhole box truck, so we talked to her about her inspiration, how that came about. We have a few emails and a call-in from Graham Young from the Homemade Camera Podcast.
Hey, Corey and Andrew, it's Graham Young. I just wanted to say thank you very much for the latest edition of the Lensless Podcast. You guys did a great job, good conversation, and no heavy breathing in the background. That was actually kind of nice for this last episode. Keep up the good work.
Welcome back to the podcast. This is show number 16. Andrew, how are you doing?
Corey.
Doing all right?
How the devil are you? I'm doing fine, thank you.
I'm hanging in. It's hot. It's really hot here.
It is. And you know what? It's hot in the UK too.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've had temperature around about 30, just above 30.
And yikes.
Yeah, and us Brits, we don't fare too well in the
heat.
In the heat, no. We have 2 days of heat. And then the water companies run out of water. I heard that on the radio this afternoon. They said,
"Nice,
we're running out of water. You got to stop taking baths." And so you'd think they'd be used to, you know, maybe they ought to just save a bit more water in the winter. And I don't know, but it's I wonder what we pay our bills for sometimes.
Are you showing signs of melting over there? Are you starting to melt?
No,
I'm melting.
I stay fairly cool.
Cool, you are cool. Yeah, that's why I injured.
Yeah. Bit of a breeze. No, we have a bit of a breeze today.
That's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And we don't have your humidity either.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So you may be cool, Andrew, but you're not as cool as having a pinhole box truck.
I just throw those balls up there, and you just hit them, don't you? Anyone would think we didn't rehearse this.
I'm telling you. But our guest has a pinhole box truck. Yeah. Heather, how are you?
And I'm good, and I am cool.
Yeah, Heather is definitely cool. So if you're just listening, our guest this week is Heather Oldclaws.
Yeah, you did it.
All right.
I wasn't even going to attempt to pronounce it.
And Heather is out in Colorado, and she does all kinds of...
Where is that? Where is Colorado?
Right in the middle of the country, Andrew.
Is it?
Right smack dab.
Right to the middle and over a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Between California and the Midwest.
Yep.
Right in the mountains.
Okay. Sounds lovely. I shall investigate.
Yeah. So I put a couple posts up, and I think Andrew did too on Twitter.
I did.
Showing some pictures of your box truck. What is the name of your pinhole box truck, Heather?
It's Little Miss Sunshine.
And
she just has a special place in my heart, let me tell you.
Little Miss Sunshine seems like a fun project. How did you... Well, first, I'll tell you what. Why don't you let everybody know a little bit about yourself, Heather? Anybody listening?
Okay. Well, let's see. Like Corey said, I'm Colorado Springs. I work as a lab technician or supervisor of a dark room and printmaking studio at Colorado College here in town.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a wonderful job. I love it so much. I get to work with young students, like college age students and professional colleagues. And if I ever have a harebrained idea and want to try a new technique, I gotta do this. And I actually get paid to do this and test out different techniques. So,
and you still have a strong analog base to the courses, because we were talking with Dave the other week, Eichinger, and he's a professor of photography down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And they have quite a strong analog base to their teaching. Is that the same in Colorado Springs, Heather?
Yeah, it is. It's actually in Colorado Springs. Geez, I think where I'm at, there's a dark room within 20 feet of me from my college where I work. And
awesome.
And there's another university here in town. They still have a dark room. They got 10 enlargers.
Whoa.
We have 12 enlargers and at Colorado College, and part of the liberal arts college experience is having a unique experience. And so now analog photography falls into that. So they never went away. But we try to combine digital with analog to try to be a little bit more balanced.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Yeah. I must be just in like a geographical oddity because I have absolutely none of that around me.
Oh, that's rough. I think a lot of places kind of regret selling off all their darkroom stuff because now it's kind of coming back into fashion again. So
well, the local community college where I actually went and got my degree from, they have a darkroom there, but the price of just going in and auditing in class just to be able to use the darkroom, it's more cost efficient for me to, you know, just do it at my house. You know? I mean, it's kind of like, so yeah, but continue. Heather, I'm sorry.
Oh no, that's let's see what else. I'm from the Midwest actually. That's in Iowa, farm country. I grew up painting and drawing and doing all that. I went to the Kansas City Art Institute and I figured I knew everything there was about photography. So I decided to major in sculpture. And
where did you get your artistic bent inclination from, Heather?
Well, I think I got it from my dad. I remember him drawing pictures and just thinking it was great, but he was more of an idea guy. Like we would drive around and he would see like a corn bin and say like, oh, this would be a great house. You know, he could just think a little out of the box abstractly, even though he wasn't ever like properly trained in art or anything like that. But just, I think that's what kind of lent it to me. And he was really into photo gear, you know, and on vacations, having all the filters and all the lenses and stuff like that for his Pentax Emmy Super.
Right.
And so I think, you know, I just kind of fell in love with cameras that way.
Cool.
I nearly bought an Emmy Super, but that's another story. Carry on, Corey.
No. You should talk to Mike. Mike Gutterman. He's a Pentax fanatic for some reason, but you know. But how did you come across the box truck? I mean, I know how you came across it, but did you just one day say, I'm going to make a pinhole box truck and just, you know?
Well, kind of. What year was it? It was like 2011 during Worldwide Pinhole Day. We all know that day, right? The holiest of all days for us. Yeah. We love it. And that year I decided I just love how the pinhole community has opportunities to come together and just kind of be weirdos together. And I kind of wanted to share that. So I invited a bunch of people to my dark room at my house for them to make pinholes and use my dark room and do all that. It was just wonderful. You know, instead of bottles of wine, you know, when you come to a party, they brought boxes of paper. It was
Were these people you knew, or did you just sort of go and drag people in off the street?
No, totally. They're people I knew. They were like the owner of the camera store that was in town at the time.
That's cool.
People, a sculptor, and like another artist that did different type of art and doing all that. And tattoo artists and just all just walks of life.
I love the way on World Pinhole Day that people come together and, you know, they make cameras out of all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And they meet up. You know, I met with a load of guys from America and places this year. And it's just wonderful. And you're right. A load of weirdos.
Yeah. I love it. And I think, you know, pinhole
people.
That's
why me and Corey get on
great.
So well.
Yeah. You got to let your freak flag fly. And so, I mean, we're not harmless. We're not harmful people. We're pretty
mellow
people, and we don't take ourselves too seriously, so
sure.
That's just a great group of people. And so it was like 2011 and Worldwide Pinhole Day, and everyone's there and we're laughing, having a good time. And I just said out of the blue, I said, next year I'm gonna have a truck, because it was like everyone was trying to do bigger pinholes or do something different, you know, and you're in a creative environment, you're trying to just be different and do stuff. And most in the art world, most of the times, if you start with a painting or something, you end up wanting to do like a 10-foot painting. You know, you just want to go bigger and bigger.
Sure.
When you're doing art. And so everyone's like, oh, ha, ha, yeah, right, all right. And literally the next Worldwide Pinhole Day, I shot that pinhole with Little Miss Sunshine. I found her. I'd been the whole year. I'd been scouring Craigslist for like a U-Haul kind of moving van box truck type of thing. And they were so expensive. And I just thought, well, I don't want to spend like $8,000, you know, on a truck that's just, I'm going to drill a hole in the side. I didn't know what I was planning. I just wanted to do it and kind of gave up for a while. And then it was one of those days. It was back when, you know, it seemed like every other week Kodak or another film company was there was all these announcements about discontinuing this type of film and discontinuing this. And I think Kodak had discontinued Velvia, one of my favorite. No, that wasn't, that's not Kodak. That's Fuji. It was Kodak was discontinuing some slide film. I don't even remember.
Kodachrome?
Yeah, it's probably Kodachrome or something. Some slide film. Ektachrome or something? Yeah,
I think it's somewhere around there, wasn't it? Because the FPP had a big thing about it, didn't they? This is the year to shoot Kodachrome.
Yeah, there's
and,
there's
Dwayne's Darkroom or Dwayne. They were the last people to have the process for that.
The developing the chemistry for it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great. There's a great movie out right now about that too, on Netflix
about Dwayne's.
About the last roll getting processed.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Oh, right. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the Kodachrome film.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a separate. I think there's a separate one because there's a movie called Kodachrome about a father and a son thing. But there's another one that's the last role of Kodachrome, something like that. I think I could be wrong, but I think that I remember.
Whatever that K-14 process.
Yeah.
And
it was strange. We sat watching, I saw that movie Flick Up last night as we were looking for something to watch, and my wife said, hey, that's just got 2 stars, that must be rubbish. I said, it's not rubbish! You wouldn't understand. All my photo friends say it's brilliant.
Right. Funny.
Sorry. Did my phone just do something?
No, you're fine. Carry on.
No, okay. You're fine.
All right. It was the day when Kodak had discontinued a slide film that I'd been using for shooting lightning and all that kind of fun stuff. And I just that night went home and went on Craigslist and I typed in box truck and this bright yellow truck came up and it looked like a box of Kodak film to me.
Yeah.
With the stripes on the side.
It's even got like the rebates down the side, doesn't it? The sprockets,
The lines,
the black lines. Yeah.
I saw that and I was like, "This is a sign, you know. This means something." So it wasn't. It was. I think $2,500 or something. And so I called and got in, you know, to go look. And it was actually less than probably 10 blocks from my house.
There you go.
I went and did a little test drive and just kind of bounced around in it and around the neighborhood. And it was the day when I think a football game was on. They're big into the Broncos here, some sports football game. And so he wanted to get back in the house and watch it. And so I was like, well, I don't think I can do 2,500. I can do closer to like 2,000. He's okay. Just to get me like,
out of the yard
so he could go back to his football.
Sweet. So you scored.
Yeah, that was a good one. And so I just drove her on home and
right on.
And has she been reliable? You know, I always get worried about things breaking down.
Oh, tell me about it. Well, you know,
should be easy to work on though, because I mean she's an older vehicle, so it's not like it's computers and everything is still pretty much, you know.
And that's the thing that I love. When my first car growing up was a 1967 Mustang, and so I could change the oil on it myself and do all that kind of stuff. So I kind of grew up, you know, with cars that way. And, you know, Little Miss Sunshine's 1977 Chevy box truck. And
that's the year I was born.
Hey, really?
Yeah, 77.
Good year. Well, when you sit inside Little Miss Sunshine, it smells like 1977.
Sweet.
And I told my mechanic that, and he goes, oh, Heather, that's just the exhaust. And I'm like, well, the 70s was all about some exhaust. You know, we didn't have a lot of emissions.
That sounds a bit scary. If you're in the back of your box fan, of your box fan and you can smell the exhaust, you need to be really careful, okay? Just saying.
You got to be careful, but, you know, then again, the world... I figure if you're sitting back there, and I have some beanbag chairs and everything, I sit back there and I take you for a spin around the neighborhood, and the world actually turns upright, right side up, mm-hmm. then we got a problem. Then we got to check the exhaust system because we got to keep it upside down back there.
Is part of the fun driving around and just watching the world whiz past upside down?
Yes.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's crazy because your brain, when you're in there, your brain makes it, once it starts moving, it makes it brighter as if it's almost daylight in there. It's bizarre because your brain is trying to make sense of what it's seeing.
Yeah.
And it's just processing it, and you're turning corners and you're doing this and your head is just adjusting to it, and it's brighter inside.
Have you had many people throw up in there yet?
It sounds not like yet.
Andrew, come on.
You're making me feel ill just talking about it.
Not yet, but you know, I thought, well, if I ever have to quit my job and get another job, you know, marijuana is legal in Colorado now.
Sweet.
I figure I could just park Little Miss Sunshine outside one of those dispensaries and charge people for a wild ride.
There you go.
A trip of a lifetime.
You'll be a millionaire.
Totally. Oh, goodness.
So how did you... This is going to kind of be like a two-part question, but why did you decide to just do negatives other than the fact of having to contact print everything? And what got you to the point of doing so many 8x10s? Did you start with like 16x20s first, and then it just progressed to that point?
Well, I see, this is where my sculpture background comes into play, because when you make sculptures, you have to think of like the end product and work your way back.
Right.
So when you make something. And so I knew that I wanted the hole to be on like the passenger side of the truck, so it would project on the other side of the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's all inside the whole wall. I could make a print from the hole inside of the box truck, but you know, you have to have a limit at some point. So I got to thinking, every time I mail work to a gallery or a museum, it costs me so much money to ship big pieces of art. It's intense. And then it comes back and then it sits in my house, and it's all about what you do with the art that doesn't sell. I mean, I never think of actually selling a piece of art. I just have to think of what's going to happen with it when I'm done making it. And so really it was more about having the multiple 8x10s, which is what I started with, was more cost effective for shipping to galleries.
Yeah, you could just put it in a box and just... Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So when I'm done with the photos... I, you know, at first I put them in the dark with a red headlamp on. I put them on this magnetic wall that I built with little tiny magnets on each corner. It's about 84 or so 8x10s. Sometimes I'll mix in some 11x14, 16x20s, but the 8x10s look really good to me. And then I process them all and, archive all that stuff, scan them, and then I heat press mount them onto foam core, and then I put Velcro, the soft Velcro loop, mm-hmm. on the back, and then when I hang them with the Velcro, like the hook part of it up in like vertical, and then I just pop them on the wall, boom boom boom. It's really easy to hang. Thank God. And then they can be shipped to galleries and stuff just in this kind of mid-sized Tupperware container.
Right. That's cool.
And as far as the negative goes, you know, shooting a paper negative, I had to have a way to see what I was doing in there. And so I had to, like, put all the dome lights. I had to put Ruby Lith over the dome lights in case someone opened the door halfway through the exposure or something. And I wanted to wear my red Safe Light headlamps. And so I had to use paper instead of, you know, film. And of course, film would just be outrageous priced.
Oh, yeah.
But the paper negative makes total sense. And I love shooting pinhole with paper negative. And I just adore how the negative looks. And so it's like, why bother spending another like $100 in paper making contact prints?
Sure.
And why not just show the thing that is the thing, the actual object that I made with this truck? And it just makes it more special. And they're so big.
Yeah. At first, when Corey started sharing the images of your exhibition, I think maybe because the image was small on my phone, I just sort of looked at it and saw a positive image in my mind. And I looked and I said, no, that's a negative image. But actually, in a way, it makes it much more real, doesn't it? It just makes people stop and look twice because they're seeing the image as it was burned into the paper from the side of the truck. But I'm intrigued. Why haven't you fitted a curved side to the van or something like that? Like a reality panoramic camera, because I can't, my head starts looking at these pictures and I think, well, surely you're getting a difference in light intensity across the side of this truck, and some are going to be, you know, have more exposure than others, but they all look so well balanced. You made it all sound so easy, but I can't believe it's that easy.
It really is that easy. I mean, literally, from the first day that I popped that hole in there, I have a bigger hole, like the size of a dime, on the side. And so
how big is the pinhole?
That's just it. So the hole to view and like frame up my shot is about the size of a dime. Then I have a brass little shim that the diameter of the pinhole is 1.51 millimeters.
Wow.
And that will give me my optimum sharpness for my focal length, which is like, what is the focal length? It's
9 feet.
Yeah. No, it's actually 7.5 feet. So 89 inches. And so that makes my I'm F1497.
What?
Yeah.
You're
Isn't
joking.
That great? No, not at all.
That's insane.
Now, when we get the maker of the pinhole assist app on the show, we say I'm going to ask him if he has a setting for Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah, you better put a Little Miss Sunshine on there because everyone's going to go out and get one now. Let me tell you.
Oh, that's insane.
But
that is insane.
But seeing that negative, I think it's otherworldly, just like photography can send you. You know, I think we have to give a nod to the process when we're actually doing this much effort into something, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, if I was really true to displaying it how it was made, I would have to display all those upside down.
Yeah, there you go. That would be totally different. Yeah, sure. Have you thought about doing, I'm sure you've probably experimented and tried different things, but do you ever try and do like driving while you have the pinhole open, you know, for 5 minutes or whatever it is, and just letting it
just let it do its thing?
Yeah.
You bet. I did it. I went up to Fort Collins, which is the town north of us. It's about a two-hour drive normally, but in Little Miss Sunshine, it's about a three-hour drive.
Right.
And so I was heading back down, and I went to fill up the gas tank, and it just shut off. You know how the nozzle just shuts off when you're full?
Yeah.
It just like a couple drops went in and it shut off. I'm like, this isn't right. Cause it usually costs me like $70 to fill this thing.
Right.
And I know I'm almost empty. And so I just headed down the road and thought, well, maybe it's the gas station. And I had put a big mural sheet of paper up on it to be like, oh, I'm going to drive home and, you know, do it as I'm driving home, because it was a real overcast, rainy, cold day. And so it was a really low exposure. So I was going to do long, you know, long exposure on a low light day. I go to the next gas station, same thing happens. And it's like this some sort of like vapor lock thing that's happening. And so I had to run in and get a gas tank, like a mobile gas tank, fill it up, and then put it in, like make it, like drink it, you know, like a bottle to a baby. Mm-hmm. And had to do that all the way back home down the road and just kind of feed it, you know, 5 gallons at a time.
Oh, bless it. Did you have to burp it as well?
Oh, my God. I felt like I had to.
Give it a little pat on the back.
But what happened was every time I would stop at a gas station, I was there for like 30 minutes doing it. And so this image, the sky is blown out. It's like a horizon, you know, totally blown out sky. But then there's all these gas pumps and cars and different... things.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd need really to combine, before you said describe that story, you would need some moments of still to get some tangible image, and then you need the movement as well.
Yep.
That's exactly what you got, by hook or by crook.
I have a hard time even looking at that image because it just reminds me of that high stress situation. I don't like, you know, getting back to Andrew's question about, you know, fixing the truck or it breaking down and stuff like that. I totally hate that. I don't want to deal with that. But it's a really, like, it had low mileage on it, hardly ever been used. But the other day, like, my husband and I had to change the alternator in it. And now she's purring again and doing good. But it's like, do I want to be in the middle of nowhere? When this happens,
sure.
You know?
Does your husband share your obsession with photography and pinhole photography and Little Miss Sunshine, or is he just there to help you fix it?
No, he's just obsessed with making me happy, so that's fine with me.
Great guy.
he's a really wonderful artist too. He's a tattoo artist, and we own a tattoo shop here in town called The Bearded Lady Custom Tattoo Company.
Nice.
And so he's got his own obsessions too, and he leaves me to mine.
That's cool.
I'm surprised he hasn't done some artwork on the side of your van for you.
Well, you know, that's what everyone says. Like, they see Luna Sunshine and they're like, oh, I love it. And then the next question is, are you ever going to paint it?
No way. Like, it's yellow.
No way. I love it. I kind of love it looking like this little chitty chitty bang bang broken down type of thing. So while I'm in the back doing stuff, no one's going to mess with it, you know.
Sure.
They might try and steal it.
Well, that's it, you know.
You have to get you one of those clubs to put on the steering wheel because you're in the back. You know those clubs?
I've had it sometimes put a little sign on the door like, I'm in the back of the truck. If I'm not out by, you know, the next morning, break this door down, because you never know. I could pass out back there and no one would know. Because
I suppose it's not really ideal for it because you need a nice sealed box, obviously. But to my mind, wouldn't it be just great taking off with your bed in the back and your and your camping equipment? But mate, you perhaps wouldn't want to sleep in there because it would be too, I don't know, you might die of suffocation overnight.
Well, but, here in Colorado, if you went up to the mountains, you know, you could do that completely because it gets chilly at night. I would just love to. It's really set up where I could camp in there. It's a whole dark room. I could process in there. I can shoot inside there. I can even use Little Miss Sunshine to carry my other pinhole cameras that are too big for me to carry around normally.
Ah.
Do you ever do any processing in the back of Little Miss Sunshine? So you do. So you do have some kind of...
Yep. If I have to, I will. When I first started with her, I would do a test, like a test 8x10 first before I would commit to, you know, $100 worth of paper.
Sure.
And every test turned out perfect. I mean, everything just lines up in Little Miss Sunshine. I've only had, out of all the shots I've ever done, I've only had one shot not turn out right. And that's because the person who was sitting inside with me had her cell phone turn on halfway through the shot. And it exposed all the paper.
It fogged it.
fogged it and it made it kind of black and really weird areas. And there was no kind of recovering from it. But
what paper are you using?
I'm using Ilford Pearl RC.
Yeah.
I rated at 6 ASA. And
which is about what the literature says, I think, isn't it?
Yep. And use a light meter out the window, pointed at the ground. I use my light meter and just point it at the ground and get the reading. And then I see, you know, I've used that Pinhole Wizard website and just see what F8 gives me. And then I just transfer it to what F1497 is.
It's a great year, that 1497.
It's 1497. And in the summertime, on really bright days, I don't recommend it. It's very hot. But on bright days, it's like a 12-minute exposure. And then on kind of overcast, cloudy, not overcast, but cloudy days where it's not so bright, it can be about 35 minutes. And I try not to go much longer than that.
Sure. The paper probably can't. I don't know what the reciprocity for.
I think the paper could hold up. I just get really bored inside there. And, you know, so you got to go to the bathroom.
You don't have to do any. I've never made paper negatives, but is the paper good to go? You don't have to do any kind of pre-flashing or do anything to the paper?
Nope. I know some people that like to pre-flash. I've never pre-flashed. I've never had any issue. This paper in Loma Sunshine, it's just perfect. You just get a full range. Mm. And maybe it's just my what I'm choosing and what days to photograph on, but it's pretty evenly lit. So I'm trying not to get a lot of the sky in the image because it'll just go black.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure that it's taken a little while for you to figure out, you know, you can figure out the angle of view math wise, sure. But like everybody knows, until you start shooting with the camera and you get used to it and you can figure out, you know, exactly how wide it is and what it's capturing the scene. I mean, do you catch yourself driving around in your regular car being like, oh, this is, you know, like, that would be perfect, you know, or like if I pull up close to the stop sign, I can get the stop sign in, you know.
How did
you work out kind of your framing lines for it, you know, and like,
well,
just
I would,
general getting used to it, you know?
Just general getting used to it. And the thing is, once you pull up to a thing, the Little Miss Sunshine has one of those like kind of sliding doors that goes from the cab to the back of the truck.
Yep.
So that makes it super awesome. So I can just pull up, park, turn it off, go back in the back of the truck, let my eyes adjust for a few minutes.
Sure.
I got all this blackout cloth curtains that kind of surround Little Miss Sunshine that help on the inside. And so I have this curtain that's white and the image is projected on it. And then I can kind of line it up that way. And then if I think it's good, then I'll, you know, shut it down, put the real pinhole in it.
Right.
And move those curtains back. And then I have a gridded, a marked out 8x10 gridded, you know, 5-foot by 10-foot piece of magnetic steel on the side. The thing that's kind of nice about, you know, having your eye always looking, I think as a photographer, the more you do it, the more you see it. Just like how you were saying that when you were looking at the images, they looked positive, but they were actually negative. That's because you're so in tune with looking at negatives that you're just switching them over now. And I think that's when you know you're really getting to a mastery point of your art form, is when you can see what's happening before it's going to happen.
Right.
But that's also one of the things I love about pinhole photography, and especially Little Miss Sunshine. Like, I will look at, like, there I have this picture of this bowling alley. In this parking lot. I liked it because my daughter went there for a party when we were younger, and we had her, you know, there was no cake was allowed inside the bowling alley. So we ended up eating the cake on the tailgate of a truck on the outside in that parking lot. So they have a beautiful sign, a bowl. This is bowl. And then, you know, you have everything backwards with the text and pinhole. And so I was really all about that sign. When I got done and was processing it, the parking lot, that black asphalt parking lot with all its cracks and divots and it was the most gorgeous thing ever because it looked like a starry night, like a universe. It looked like a universe. And I wasn't even thinking of that when I pulled up to shoot it. And so the surprise factor is still there for me that cool. I love. And so I kind of am used to thinking, well, this will be a great shot, but I want to be surprised at what I get to.
Yeah. I know shooting from having shot with cameras like the Reality, so subtle, the 6x17, that's really wide. So I can, and it's hard enough to try and figure out a subject to completely fill the frame with that. So I can't even imagine, you know, like a whole almost life size scene that you're taking a picture of. It's not like, this would look really good condensed down to 6x6. You literally have to start thinking about like a billboard.
Yeah.
A billboard size scene, you know? I mean,
and you got to think of your angle. Do you want to be parallel to it or do you want to angle it? You know,
sure.
And that's all getting back in the truck and moving the truck and then moving back in and getting your eyes adjusted and doing all that. The hardest time I had with that was I was going to have a show of all the pinhole work at the Sangre Cristo down in Pueblo. And it's like a 3,000 square foot gallery. So I would be able to show 10 of these Little Miss Sunshine pieces. Thank God, all at once.
Right.
And so they had one wall that was just huge. And so I decided I wanted to do like a panorama with Little Miss Sunshine, which would entail 3 shots. So it was going to be, it ended up being like 5 feet by 35 feet. And so, oh my God. And it was winter time. And so the exposure was long. So I pulled up in the parking lot and I, you know, had all my shot lined up and I did the first exposure and it was, you know, 40 minutes long. And so then I took all the paper down. You know, the whole process of just doing that is like an hour and a half of putting the paper up, putting the paper down. And then I had to move the truck to the next, you know, I had to move it like 10 feet back so then I could do that. And I did that twice. But in between that happened, it was besides a Dunkin' Donuts donut shop.
Mm-hmm.
They had burned their donuts.
Oh.
And the smell of burnt donut was trapped in the back of Little Miss Sunshine with me. That's all I think about when I see that picture now. But
that's funny.
Yeah, but I'm probably not ever going to do that again. And if I did, I would have help where people would be like, you move 10 foot back, move back. Because having your eyes adjust and everything when you framed up the shot was very difficult and time consuming. So
Heather, in this rather suspicious world we live in now, you know, you can't even a pinhole camera, you put it up on a tripod in a public place and you get somebody come over and say, hey, you can't be shooting here. So and then there's the little issue of certainly over here, you guys have perhaps not had it so much, but you know, there've been terrorist attacks and bombs planted in rusty old vans.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Do you ever get people come up or police? Do they say, "What are you doing?" Do you get challenged?
I get challenged once, and it was because I went. I usually like taking pictures on Super Bowl Sunday because everyone's watching sports. And I can do whatever I want. No one's watching me. I can park backwards or I can park illegally. And, you know, everyone's kind of, you know, distracted. But it was on that day I went to do a picture of Hogan's. It's another like India. It's a sign of a native sign. What is it called? Hogan's. I don't know. It's a restaurant, but it has a really great sign. And I pulled into the back, went into the back of the truck and then came out later. But there was a guy out there kind of knocking on my door. He had seen me in the truck and then not, but never saw me get out of the truck. So I came out and I said, oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. He goes, well, I thought something had happened to you back there. He thought like someone had pulled me in the back of a truck or something.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, I almost got the opposite where people were watching out for me.
Okay.
But yeah, I do think I need some sort of signage or something that says, you know, this is a art vehicle or something like that. But
you should hang it, get one made that you can hang off of the rearview mirror, you know, like when you go in, like,
yeah,
like a this, or you know what would work really good? One of those signs that they have in restaurants, like when it's open, you know, when they leave and they flip it over, it says closed, you know?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
Put it on the window, open, close.
Or like exposing. Don't move. You're screwing up my shot. Yeah.
Don't shake the truck.
moving the truck.
That's funny. So other than when you're not making 5 foot by 35 foot pictures, what do you do for just, you know, your normal average pinhole fun, you know, everything other than
she uses a jug. She uses a big shiny jug.
Because because on your Instagram or your webpage, I saw where you had taken the Christmas tin, and I had never thought about doing this, and I thought it was brilliant. Putting the shapes of the people inside of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was so cool. That's a great idea. I had never even crossed my mind to do something like that. And
That idea came about the day before Worldwide Pinhole Day, because I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You know, I've done Little Miss Sunshine. I want to do something different. And, you know, I'm sure you guys probably save. Every time you see a container or something that looks interesting, you save it and be like, I'm going to make a pinhole out of this. So I have like a stockpile of containers that could do this.
Yeah.
And I've always thought in Little Miss Sunshine, it would be interesting to interrupt the image. Like inside, if I was standing in there or I had a chair or something that blocked the image while I was exposing, I thought, well, let me just do this on a smaller scale. And so I stuck these little figurines in there. And I was thinking about, you know, in the news that had just happened where an African-American was shot in his backyard because he grabbed for a cell phone and the cops shot him thinking it was a gun. And so I thought, I want to take a picture of my backyard, but I need this kind of, I want a narrative happening within it. And so that's
sure
how that piece came about. And I really like that idea. I want to keep playing with that idea too, of putting
that was cool.
objects. And, you know, so the pinhole photo, the projected pinhole photo on the paper is kind of like this backdrop, this diorama, you know, which goes back to, you know, beginnings of photography with Daguerre and everything. So
yeah,
I really enjoy that. But I have so many pinhole cameras and I really like making my own. I think there's different types of pinhole photographers. Even though we're all really fun and awesome people, you can break them up into people who like making their own and people who don't, who are more technical and like the more technical kind of cameras too. And so I'm not really into the technical. I'm just more into what happens and the surprise of it. And I like to think that I could probably make a pinhole camera out of just about anything.
Sure, absolutely.
And so I have a whole collection of those. I have almost 200 film cameras in my collection.
Wow, there you go. There's your gas, Andrew.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so bad. Talk about obsessed. And then I even have another subcategory of toy cameras, you know? And so,
yeah, we don't talk about those.
No, the whole thing you do.
Do you have a wide angle pinhole camera?
No, she doesn't.
Everybody has one in the collection. Doesn't everyone have one?
anyone has a, you know, Holga 120 WPC.
Yeah, here we go.
I don't know if I've met any serious artist that doesn't have one.
Oh,
I'm not a serious artist. So,
that's a good thing, probably.
But you have made me feel, you have made me feel very guilty because I have to confess, I think I've confessed before to this, I have never actually made a pinhole camera.
That's got to change.
I know, yes. And I think maybe I was thinking too deeply about it, and I watched Curry making his 5x4, and I'd like to make one of those. But actually, I was looking up on my shelf earlier at my box that my iPhone came in, and thought, well, there you go.
There you go.
That's nice and ironic, isn't it?
I got one. I have some stuff I've made like that too. But I haven't really been shooting with it too much because it's been so hot. I can't get out and develop it. So I either kind of just take a break from it for a couple of months and shoot with something a little bit easier.
I hereby pledge on air to whoever might be listening to make my first pinhole camera sometime over the summer.
Oh, that makes me so happy. There you go. Oh, I love it. I love it. You're going to be so excited. It's so much fun because now you can look at the world differently. Like, ooh, this would be a good camera. This would be a good pinhole camera.
I do that, actually, ever since I've I've been shooting with a sort of shop-bought pinhole camera for years, but in between my normal lens-based photography. So it's always been there. And the darkroom is my first love. And to be honest, in the amount of spare time I have, I like to go in the darkroom, which is why I'm not watching any of the World Cup, you know. That's soccer competition that's going on at the moment, football competition. So if I have spare time, I need to be in the darkroom, you see. So having to take more time out to make a camera is always kind of, do you know what, I'd rather be out shooting or printing. But I think I've been overthinking it, and I need to just make something.
Just take five minutes.
You can make it in 5 minutes.
Easy. I'd love to talk about your darkroom. I think I want to know, when did you first start having your own darkroom, or how long have you guys had your own darkrooms?
Corey won't like me to start banging on too much about the darkroom on the pinhole show.
No, that's all right.
They go hand in hand.
They do. I am actually going to appear on a Light in the Dark podcast on Sunday. I'm recording with John Gregory there.
Awesome.
We're going to be talking darkrooms all evening.
Oh.
But I've had a darkroom since I was about 18, I think. So I'm.
I've had one.
A little bit older than that now.
I've had one on and off for. I didn't have one during my little kind of digital age when I was away from it a little bit, but I've had it in some form, maybe not a full on darkroom, but I've been developing at home, you know, or like Toby does, like a gorilla darkroom. Just put it up in my bathroom, you know, so I don't really consider it as a big darkroom, but you know, but I mean, it's temporary thing. I've always had one. I've had one since I was probably 20 in some form, shape or another, you know what I mean? From elaborate to just developing in my kitchen sink, you know, one way or the other.
I love that.
My darkroom's fairly small, but it's when we moved to this house about 18 years ago, I spent about a year getting round to rebuilding the darkroom, but basically I partitioned off one corner of our garage and ran some electric in there. I don't have running water. That was a bit problematic for me, but I've got around that. And so I suppose my darkroom is 7 feet by 9 feet, not very big really. But in there I have a 5x4 enlarger and another enlarger goes up to 6x9 on one side. And then on the other side I have not really a sink, but a sort of homemade area, which is kind of waterproof with a print upright Nova slot processor. So that they can do 12, 16 prints and then a series of trays and a fiber print washer,
which I
hook up to the garden hose.
Yeah. I was going to say, you guys are really high tech because mine is, I literally did the same thing in my garage with I took a sheet of plywood. So it's 8 feet by 4 feet wide. I just screwed a piece of plywood to the ceiling in my garage in the corner, built one wall, put a doubled up black sheet with some opaque black plastic on one end to come in and out of it. And I only do contact prints. I don't even have an enlarger. I put a sink, one of those plastic utility sinks I purchased from the rehab place.
Nice.
And I do the same thing. I run a water hose out to it from my garden, from my spigot outside, and hook two water hoses together and turn it on and rinse there. And that's about all I do. That's it for me. I want to get in a larger so I can start printing. Cause I primarily, you know, I'm shooting 6x6. So I want to be able to make enlargers of that. So I've got to get
I don't make massive prints with my 5x4 work. Probably the actual image size is not much bigger than 8x10 and It's not quite a contact print, but it's not a great deal of enlargement. So the quality you get just by making slightly bigger, you know, sort of 8x10 prints with a 5x4.
Oh, I love just beautiful. I love 4x5. It's so gorgeous. Oh,
I like contact prints. I like just doing contact prints better than even doing enlarging them.
Yeah,
4x5 and 5x7 and.
You're getting back to almost the sort of same vibe that Heather has, aren't you, with just the light playing straight onto the paper. I know, you've got your negative there as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that light with no lens. So you're not really into lenses. That's why you like it. You just like
I think so. I went through a phase of trying to do 16x20 because I wanted to do it with paper, but I don't get along too great with paper. I tried some of the direct positive, and I didn't really get along with that too great either. Me neither. I think my plan at this point now is going to be, I like 5x7 and doing 4x5, so I don't like dealing with film holders. So I'm going to build myself an 8x10 one-shot pinhole camera.
So
that I can just carry one shot with me, because the problem with film holders is that if you go out with two film holders or three film holders and you have six shots, you're in your mind, you want to shoot all six shots. You know what I mean? So then you come back and you develop them, and then two out of the six you really like, you know what I mean? And once you get past 120 film, nothing is cheap anymore. You know, you start buying packs of sheet cut film, you know, it kind of, the price starts going up. So I'm going to start doing the one shot mentality of like an 8x10, and then just load it whenever I come home, you know, and when I go out, I have that one shot.
What will you put in there, Curry?
I want to do film. I don't want to do paper. I want to be able to start shooting 8x10 negatives. And just doing contact prints straight from 8x10 negatives. I've been talking about this forever I made a 16x20 camera, but I don't like doing it with paper. I don't know. I just don't. The paper just is too much fiddling and testing, and you know, and I don't enjoy it. And if I get to the point where I don't enjoy it, then what happens to it? It just collects dust, which is what's going on out there right now. So
the 8x10 film is so expensive. Are you going to try X-ray? Are you going to try the X-ray film first?
No, I have X-ray here. And I like the X-ray film, but I don't. Some people have really good luck with it, and it doesn't scratch. Well, I take it out of the box and it scratches, you know. That's my thing. You know,
sorry, I don't have any experience with X-ray film. I've seen some lovely results. I know it does. Does some strange things to freckles and red colors and turns them black. But I was chatting on Instagram to Andrew Sanderson. You remember I spoke to you about him? He's the Ilford printer,
and that was on the Facebook page.
Was it? Yeah, he said he's got a stack full of X-ray film.
He said he had dental X-rays. X-ray film.
I just started messaging him about it yesterday, so I think I can probably get some from him. But I was. I didn't progress it any further. I just said, whoa, I don't know. It seems a bit tricky to handle, you know.
Have you done anything with the X-ray film, Heather?
Yeah, I've done. I bought the that Ondu pinhole 8x10, that last Kickstarter they did. And I've been doing X-ray with that. And I think the trick is glass bottom trays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure.
And just be careful. The thing is, when I do like doing paper better, just because I have that kind of dialed in and I know what I'm looking for.
Sure.
But if I had the film and how expensive it is, I would almost feel like it's so sacred I wouldn't take the shot. So
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I would rather have a cheaper way of doing it that's a little bit more difficult and take the shot instead of hesitating to take the shot, you know.
Right.
And with paper negative, I kind of like the versatility and more hands-on artistry that you can have. So like if you put it, once you've processed it and put it on a dark, like a light table, you could take like charcoal and add, you know, highlights and stuff like that. I like thinking I'm going to do that someday. I haven't done it, feel like I could do that someday. Sure. And,
what you can do, Heather, if you want to take some of your, you know, some of those paper negatives and turn them into a positive, you can actually use your charcoal on the back of the negative to add some extra density to lighten, lighten the tone.
Yeah,
on the positive. So you can do some dodging and shading, but using a pencil.
I love that idea, and I love then it's kind of a one of a kind, and really more a cross between photography and drawing and painting at the same time.
Well, that's why, I'm still into instant photography, but not quite now. I can't get my hands on so much of the old expired stuff at a reasonable cost. My interest has waned a little bit, but I was very much into emulsion transfers and lifts with the
impossible stuff. Me too. Back with the old Type 59, right?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
And Corey doesn't know what we're talking about.
I do. I got into doing, instant film, the pull apart stuff, back in about 2000 when I was taking some view camera classes and some product classes, commercial classes, 4x5 stuff, and we used all that for our test shots, Some of the people in the class were really into doing it otherwise, and I did it some. Some things just work for some people and they don't work for anybody else, So I never really. Just really got into it, It just wasn't. I just wasn't that big of a deal to me. So, I don't have a real heavy grasp on all the different kinds of pull apart film, just because it just wasn't my thing. But I love looking at them, I think it's great that I love everything that people do. If they get happy for doing it, then that's all I need, I'm happy to see what they come up with,
I always associate that Polaroid peel apart with like road trips.
Yeah, sure.
I love that. And so that smell, when I, what was it? A few years back, I went to New York City and shot the 20x24 Polaroid. Have you guys?
Oh, that monster. I think that ran into difficulties recently, didn't it? Have they finally given up with that?
It doesn't seem like it's as active, or else they're slowing down just to preserve. Yeah, but
I think time has been called on it. I'm pretty certain I saw something about that.
Well, it was a pretty rickety way of shooting. I mean, there was like duct tape and string, but they had it. I mean, it was kind of interesting. But the main thing about that was, okay, remember what peel apart Polaroid smelled like now.
Yep.
Put that on a 20x24 inch, it about knocks you on your butt, the smell.
And I
didn't even think about that when I was shooting it. And so when they pulled it apart for the first time and that smell hit me, it was like instantly transporting me back to all the Polaroids I've ever shot.
I miss that smell now.
Oh my God, it was just about brought me to tears. And then the next thing I know, I'm like waking up in my hotel room. I was on such a Polaroid high. I don't even remember getting on the subway and getting back home to my hotel.
Yeah, you were sniffing too many negatives. That was the trouble.
Yeah. There's support groups for that if you need to find you one. Yeah. It's fine.
I seem to think of it more of a religious experience than experience that way. But yeah, that was great.
Well, we... last show, we asked for some emails. I begged and pleaded for some emails.
I'm not going to plead for any more emails. You guys out there, if you want to send us an email, you do it. But you know what?
Yeah.
We write up such things as emails. We just make them up. I did offer to phone in just to ask a question. Sorry, Corey.
But we got an email. No, we got two emails.
That's exciting. Yeah, we did.
We got one from Toby, but...
okay, we paid him.
We got one from a guy from Buenos Aires, Argentina.
Buenos Aires.
His name is Mariano German Oliver. So I don't know if that's a real name or not, but
yeah,
he has an email and apparently, but he says he sent a picture that he took, taken from a bridge with paper negatives, rated at 12.
Oh,
ISO, a sunny midday and 30 seconds of exposure. He says that he likes my feed, so I'm assuming our feed. And he says, best regards, Mariano. And he sent a picture, so I'll put that up on the Instagram
Did he say if he had a website or an Instagram feed?
No, he didn't. So I'll put it up and I'll go see if I can track him down on Instagram. And
so we have an Argentinian listener.
Yeah, we have an Argentinian. Argentinian.
You're worldwide.
Yeah. And we have this letter from Toby says that he really liked the last show, the email, I mean. He's asking about, since homemade cameras seem popular, how about an episode on building your own pinhole? There's always lots of talk about the cameras that are commercially available, but I've never bought one. Only ever home constructed or converted. I had a bit of a fail last weekend. My planned day of pinhole at the beach didn't get very far. My first issue was with the Rolly RX25 ISO film. He didn't check the reciprocity failure before he loaded it, and its time adjustment graph is huge. Add to that my red filter, and there was no way I was going to be able to deal with the exposure times needed and hold a dog lead. So I guess he was walking his dog. So in the end, he just enjoyed the family day. He did manage to make one picture. He says it was 5 minutes in duration. So he says, looking forward to the pinhole van feature coming up. So he sent a couple pictures of that day, so I'll put those up too, and hopefully whenever he gets his one image of 5 minutes developed, he'll send it to us.
I'm seeing Toby tomorrow. He's joining me in London for a wander.
Yeah, your photo walk.
Yes.
There
may be three of us.
Stig and you and Toby?
No,
Tobes?
Stig's not going. Evil Chutney, I think, is joining us.
Evil Chutney.
Yeah. But I thought when we get Justin Quinnell on the show, we can talk to him because he's all about homemade pinhole cameras.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Photographing the inside of his mouth. And
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So Justin has agreed to come on at some point so we can try and pin that busy chap down.
Yeah.
I think, Toby, that will be your main feature on all things homemade when it comes to pinhole.
We're going to put Toby at the head. This show is going to be about answering Toby's burning ideas.
Yeah.
I think there should be a competition on who can come up with the craziest pinhole camera.
Maybe we'll do that. Yeah.
That could be fun.
There's quite a few other shows that are doing other, little contest, so maybe we're going to kind of like let those guys kind of let their things run and then pop something up in between, so people can don't want to seem too overburdened. But that's a really good one.
What was
the other one we were talking about doing? Portraits.
Pinhole portraits. I'm into pinhole portraits at the moment. Yeah. Handheld pinhole portraits.
That's fabulous.
So that's what I'd like to do. Because I've got to even the score up, you see, because I'm 1-0 behind in the competition.
I won the pinhole sprockets. Yes. You can clap for me and hooray. It's fine. Go ahead, Joe. I mean, go ahead, Andrew. Let's hear it. Come on. Yay, I'm the best. No, I'm just picking. Yeah. Just joking. That was fun. I did enjoy doing that because I have honestly not done any type of pinholes or any type of sprocket photography, exposing over the sprocket holes in 20 years, so it was fun to fashion some 35 millimeter holder spacers for my pinhole camera, and it worked. And I was, all right, yeah, it actually worked. So that was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yep. Well, Heather, I guess we're going to wrap this up. So if you want to take a second to let everybody know where to find you, and so they can and follow your work and go get a better look at it. Everybody know.
Sure. My website is www.camerakarma.com. And my Instagram is camera_karma1. Or you can just haphazardly try to spell my name on Google anywhere you want. You can spell it the weirdest way possible and I'll still come up, which
you
is
do.
So
that's
nice
awesome.
About having a,
I can testify very, to that.
Yeah, yeah, you can misspell it every which way. But I also want to sorry to interrupt, but I wanted to say thank you guys for doing this podcast, because when I heard about a podcast for pinhole photography, my heart just sprang and just sang. And, you know, I just really appreciate you giving pinhole photography the exposure it needs.
We're trying.
Well, I really do appreciate it. And I think it's much fun. I love listening to your podcast as I'm working in the studio. And I look forward to the future episodes.
Cool.
But are we? We're working on that. We're working. Our guest list is growing. So we're kind of hopeful that we can keep it going for a while, aren't we, Corey?
Yeah. Yep. And next week we have Heather. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not, but Todd
Schlemmer. The Schlem.
Yeah.
He makes
the Terrapin pinhole. Yep. 3D. He 3D prints them.
Oh, just shot one of those in New Orleans. Yeah. Nice.
Maybe you probably did. Yeah. He's a cool guy. He has his own. He prints the cameras and sells them in his Etsy shop. But he also has all of the cameras on open source for you to get the plans and 3D print it yourself. So if you don't have a printer, you can buy one from him. But if you have a printer and you want to make one, he has his plans available for you for a free download, and you can do it that way. So that's pretty cool,
I think. He's a great guy. And I met him in Norwich on World Pinhole Day when we had the World Pinhole Git together in Norwich, which was great.
Yep.
And I met Todd.
Todd.
Todd. And Heather, just for folks out there, when you check out Heather's work, look for her body bag pictures, which I did laugh and smile, and I thought that was what a fantastic, and maybe next time you come and talk to us, we'll delve a bit more into some of that, because it wasn't exactly pinhole, so I wasn't going to ask you too much about it.
Yeah, anytime, you bet.
Cool.
And I love the idea, just to sign off really, on what my last thought on your work, when I read about why people use pinhole photography, and we all get different kicks out of it, but you said it's that idea, that slowness, that sort of old slowing down, and the contrast of using it to capture the busyness of life, you know, real life going on at breakneck speed outside of Little Miss Sunshine, and you're capturing it on this very slow, really capturing time in a very tangible way, aren't you, which I think is just brilliant.
Perfect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's important to talk about too, is why you choose to shoot what you shoot. And so the pinhole camera as a time capsule is something that just really trips my trigger.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, if you want to get a hold of me and check out some of my photography, you can find me on Instagram. I am at Pinhole Cannon. And we also have a show Instagram page, which is the Lensless Podcast on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew? We're on Twitter at The Lensless. And we have a Lensless Podcast Facebook group, which is growing steadily. And there is a Flickr group, which is also growing steadily. But Corey doesn't like to talk about that, because he's not a member, but the Flickr's fine. It's a nice little group, and there's some discussions on there, and there's maybe a couple of hundred images on there now as well. So
it's clicking right along.
And if you want to get hold of me, you can get hold of me across the internet at Warboys Snapper, and I have an Instagram with pinholes at Warboys Snapper _ pinholes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about it, I think, isn't it?
Yep. So next week, if you want to hear Todd, come back and listen to us and check it out. And Heather, we thank you for taking your time out of your day and sitting down with us. It's awesome.
It's been a real pleasure, Heather. Thank you so much.
And, back at you.
Check out Heather's wonderful work online and the YouTube video, which you can get to see Little Miss Sunshine in more detail.
Yep.
And when I'm on my next USA road trip, I should be heading through the Midwest. Midwest? Whatever the area is you live in.
Come to Colorado. I'll take you a wild ride.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. All right.
I can't turn that down.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Well, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. Bye.
Bye.